I wrote on the board, the word corrects improper thinking. I've never been accused of having the best handwriting, so you'll have to forgive that this morning. But this is a message I have been thinking on probably for several years. And I never felt like the Lord gave me a burden to preach on it till just lately during the meeting. And maybe it was before that. But, I'm thinking this morning about our thoughts and the Lord's thoughts. And, our thoughts many times are they're just not the Lord's thoughts. Have you ever had that problem? Man's idea of worshiping the Lord really varies greatly, doesn't it? I've talked to people that said, well, me and God have something worked out together. We have something going. Well, that's not biblical, is it? There isn't any scripture of private interpretation, and you just take it to yourself, and everything's between you and God, and all of those things. But, I believe that the Lord has a mind about some things. And I just happen to think that His mind is quite a bit above our mind. And that's a really big understatement. I think His mind, to quote the scripture, if you turn to Isaiah 55 and 8 and 9, says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now that's what God has to say about it. Now, in our thinking, we have a lot of thoughts because we are humans. People have built great pyramids. They have built great monasteries. They have built things of gold. And they have worshipped the sun and the moon and everything in between, haven't they? They've done that. They've worshipped themselves. And yet, it just gets them into more and more trouble, doesn't it? Can you imagine worshipping some creature that God made and then realizing there wasn't any help at all in it? That's what man's thoughts bring to him. But God wants to change our thinking because He has some thinking about things. God has His mind about things. And He wants us to know His mind. Did we realize that this morning? God wants us to understand His mind. And so I want to start in kind of an unusual place here. But over in 2 Kings 1... let's read a little story that happened. 2 Kings 1 and 3, and it says, "But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, 'Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, and thou shalt surely die.' And Elijah departed." Now this was Ahaziah, and he had the king, and he had an accident and fell down through a lattice, and he was laid up in bed. And the angel of the Lord told Elijah, "You go meet this Ahaziah is sending messengers to get something from Beelzebub." Okay, so the god of Ekron. And so he told him, "You go back. Go back and tell the king. Because you didn't seek the Lord, you're going to die." And so, if you go down into verse 9, the king heard about this, and then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him. There was 50 men there plus the captain. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of an hill, and he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king hath said, Come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also, he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, Come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. I think I'd be getting a little nervous if I was this captain, wouldn't you? And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, Go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. You know, that's a powerful story, isn't it? It's an amazing story. And Elijah, just called down fire from heaven, and it consumed them, all of them. And so we have another little story in the New Testament in Luke 9 and 52. And listen to this. Here were the disciples, and they knew the history. And Jesus had sent messengers before his face, verse 52, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? You know, that just made a lot of sense to them. Now, these people here aren't receiving the Son of God. Lord, shall we call fire down and get rid of them? And Jesus said something to them that really, really strikes home to me. Because he said here, but he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Do you know this morning, that just made a lot of sense to them. Let's put the fear of God in people. We'll just call fire down from heaven. Well, you know, the Lord just saw how fruitless and foolish that was. These were the disciples. These were the apostles, okay? And Jesus rebuked them. And he said, you just don't understand. You don't know what spirit you're of. I didn't come, the Son of Man did not come to take people's lives, to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I just want to bring that little illustration out because, folks, we are so much like they were. We have a human mind. But what we have that they didn't have is that we can have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And we can have the Word of God ever present. Isn't it wonderful? That's the one good, good thing about the phone that I carry. It has the Bible on it. The whole thing. And I can just... real often I'm accessing that thing. And I'm looking up scriptures. And you know what? God has given us that. And this morning, It was the Lord's word that he told them. He said, he corrected their improper thinking. Can you imagine that if they would have went on in that vein of thinking, think what it would have maybe taken them into. Maybe they would have decided that they needed to kill them instead of calling fire down from God. You know, that's possible, isn't it? When Jesus was about to be crucified, what did Peter do? He drew his sword and he whacked off a man's ear. Now, I know we've said this before, but I don't believe he was trying to whack his ear off. I think he missed and got his ear. Don't you? Peter meant to do business. Listen, folks, that's the kind of things we're capable of without the Lord correcting us. It is very important that God gets a hold of our ways of thinking. The Lord wants to take how we think and he wants to correct it. Because I think about, we live in a world and we were raised in homes that were imperfect. Now maybe you were raised in a perfect home, but I don't know anybody that I feel like was raised in the perfect situation. I don't know anybody. You know, we all had parents that had flaws, that had infirmities of the flesh, that they had to have better understanding, and maybe their way of correcting was not exactly biblical. And so we come into life with these insufficiencies. And many of us were raised in homes far from perfect. Is that right? We were. And you know what? It can warp our way of thinking. We can think in ways that are so detrimental. And the Lord told these men, he said, the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives. He came, what did it say? To save them. He came to save them. Oh, what a contrasting way of thought. Destroy and save. That's a pretty big contrast. You know, this morning, we have things that we bring into our lives that because, for one thing, we are born as carnal humans. Okay, God has to help us with those things, doesn't he? He has to purge. He has to clean. He has to indwell us. The Lord has to do so much for us. He has to teach us new ways of thinking. And this morning, I pray, God, that he will make this effective. Because like I say, I've been thinking on these thoughts for years. And folks, I feel like this is a critical issue in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 14... it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to share with us his mind. And I want to encourage us this morning that we take upon us the quest and looking for the mind of the Lord in our life. Paul says here, we have the mind of Christ. Can we have the mind of Christ? I believe we can, but I will tell you, it will come at a humbling, it will come at an expense to us. I think about when a force is exerted. You know, many times there's an equal force exerted back, isn't there? And I will tell you, in our lives, maybe we were raised, and I'm just going to start with this one because it's so clear. Maybe we were raised with extreme correction. No abuse. Maybe instead of being taught tenderly, gingerly, maybe instead of being taught the ways of the Lord, maybe we got the fist. Maybe we got beat until the blood came. I hope nobody here got any of that. But I want to tell you what, that's what the human mind is capable of. And how can somebody raised like that be able to raise a family that is really in balance? Is it possible? Are they destined that forever now they've been warped? Because they've been warped. When you're raised like that, you don't even know what right is. You don't have a good basis to build upon. The foundations are not there. But I want to tell you this morning, folks, God wants to change our minds. God wants to change our hearts until we understand some things. He doesn't want us to go on and carry on to the third and fourth and fifth generation things that are wicked and harmful. Okay? God wants us to be able to see change in our generation. Someone has to make the change, folks. And so that needs to be you and me. Why should we let this stuff perpetuate down to our children, and then they're warped, and then they're warped, and their children, and then their grandchildren? And you see those same tendencies go out through the generations. Have we seen this? Of course we've seen this. Because without the Lord, folks, that's what happens this morning. And so I want to encourage us that the Samaritans are not the only ones that somebody rejected the Lord and somebody was of a mind. Destroy them. Folks, our homes. Do you know that God wants to build beautiful homes? Did you know that God wants there to be good relationships within the homes? Did you know that this morning? Did we know that? What is a home supposed to be like? Well, I don't have a clue. I don't know. My mom and dad never showed me. I'm not saying that for myself. I'm saying that in the world. All around us. Well, I don't know. I don't know. How's it supposed to be? I have had plenty of dealings with people that didn't have any basis to know how a home's supposed to be. And so, see, we're dealing with an element of humanity too, aren't we? Our own person and who we are. I want to tell you, God wants there to be some things that are in balance, things that are in check, things that are holy and happy. God wants there to be those things. But there needs to be some changing of our minds sometimes. I'm going to come back to this idea. Because, folks, I pray God that He will jar our hearts today. That we can understand a little more of where to go. And how to get there. Because what can we do? I've talked to people that was raised out in the world and all kinds of issues and problems. And I'm talking not one or two. But folks, sometimes I'm deficient. And they know they're deficient and they don't know how to get there. But I want to tell you something. God put some things in place to make up for that. And so, let's turn to 2 Timothy 3 and 15. Because God, in His wisdom and in His love to us, He made a way for things to be right. He said, and that from a child, this is Paul writing to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Did you know we can be wise unto salvation? We can receive the salvation of God through the Scriptures, through the understanding of the gift of God to you and me. It says all Scripture. Now, what does A-L-L mean anyway? It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's the things we teach, doctrine. The things we teach, not just deep things, but all the things we teach. It's the doctrine that we teach. And for reproof, it's profitable for reproof. It's profitable, it says, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Did you know the Lord wants us to be complete, whole? That's what that perfect is talking about. The Lord wants us to be fitted. Thayer says fitted and complete. I think Strong says complete. The Lord wants our lives to have that completeness in it. How can it be? I want to tell you, the Lord put His Word that we might be corrected, that we might be furnished, thoroughly furnished, completely furnished for every good work this morning. And I want to encourage us today. I feel at a loss because to me the gravity of this is so great. Folks, we have to be changed. We have to be changed. I have been wrestling over this and praying for the Lord to somehow bless. I know it's in some ways a simple thought, and in other ways it's a very complex thought. I want to encourage us this morning that we begin to seek the Lord to be corrected in our thinking. Because the way we think, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, we start thinking things that are ill and odd, and we think, you know, what my child needs is, I need to beat him until, you know, until he just can't move anymore. That's called abuse. It's wicked. It comes from a heart that don't have any understanding. You know what the Lord wants us to do is correct them. Correct them with love and discipline. That's what He wants. Discipline's okay. Abuse is not. You know, this morning, God wants us to have some things in our life like that. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He wasn't taught. He was raised out there without any understanding at all. How is he going to cleanse his way? The Scripture says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalms 119:9. I want to tell you, God has put in His word a way that is holy and balanced, and it brings about life. It brings about happiness. It brings about good relationships. It brings about things in our lives that we really need. And you know, when we're young and we're starting out, and folks, it takes God to change us. Because maybe we have in our mind some really set things. This is how it's going to be. Well, you know, a few years down the line, it might not have been that way. And we need the Lord to change us and to help us. Maybe in our mind we've had some ideas that will trouble us in life. You know what? If we have the idea that nothing bad is supposed to happen to me as a child of God, do you know that is completely anti-biblical? Did you know that? Did you know Christ hanging on the cross is biblical? Did you know the thorns that went on His head is biblical? Now, is that something God wants us to do to someone else? Absolutely not. But I want to tell you something. If we expect something that's not real, then when those trials get here, how are we going to stand? What's this? What's this? Why is God letting this happen? I must not know God anymore. No, folks. He said something, Jesus did, about when men speak evil of us and they do it on purpose. And what did He say to do? What did He say to do? Anybody remember? He said to rejoice, didn't he? And he kind of emphasized it pretty strongly to rejoice. He said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I want to tell you what that changes the battle when we understand that. Now then, instead of feeling bad towards somebody, we're praying for ourselves. Lord, you said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You must be wanting me to get my eyes up off of this thing. You must be wanting me to get my eyes on heaven, where I can rejoice and be exceeding glad because my reward is great there. I won't suffer any of this there. You know what, this morning, it's important for us to understand those concepts, isn't it? It is the word of the Lord that teaches us. And I want to encourage us that when we read our Bibles, that we don't read just to get through our devotions, but that we take time. I mean, I know sometimes we read a chapter, but folks, let's take time to study every one of these verses, every one of them. What's it mean? What's it mean when it says that? Lord, reveal this to me. Because I want to tell you what that'll do. The next time we have a battle like that, it'll be different. Because then we know where to go to. We know what the battle really is. You know, when we were young, because there's a lot of young in this congregation, but there's a lot of older too. And do you know this morning, maybe we were mistreated by somebody that looked like a really strict saint. They were really conservatively dressed. You know that can warp our thinking? We can get an attitude about that, and I will never look like that. Do you know what? Maybe God does want us to look like a saint. You know what? We can get an attitude, can't we? I will never this. I will never that. Well, folks, why don't we do this instead? Let's pick up our Bibles and say, Lord God of heaven, teach me your ways. And show me your paths. And help me to be one of those people that never turns a sour taste in someone's mouth because of something like that. We were in Honduras one time. And we were in line. And this really saintly looking lady just walks right up and cuts in line in front of us and gets her groceries done and goes on. You know, that really was a sour taste. Of course, I'm not going to let it ruin my thinking about conservatively dressed people. Because I know something about what the Scriptures say. Folks, let's get the Scriptures down in our heart. Let's ask the Lord, because see, it's not just the Scriptures. Everybody in the world uses the Scriptures. I mean, the Christian world. All kinds of different ideas and doctrines. But listen, there's two witnesses that the Scriptures speak of. One is the Spirit of the Lord, and the other is the Word. And I want to tell you, God wants those two witnesses to be alive in our life. And He wants us to teach us His ways. Because, folks, our thoughts are as different from God's thoughts are the heavens are above as the heavens are above the earth. That far apart on our own. And so let's pray to God, Lord, teach me your ways. And show me your paths. In Psalms 107 and 20, it says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I want to tell you, the inspired word of God will heal us. It'll change the way we think about things into a good and healthy way. Do you know that we could be raised as poor people Because most people are. You know that? And we can find God in the midst of that. Or we can decide, I will never let my family be the least bit poor. And we can give ourselves to coveting and to covetousness and to greed and spend a lifetime like that. Did you know that's what happens in the human? It takes God to settle our feet. And so I just want to encourage us today that we don't look at this as some kind of a something against us. But folks, this is God reaching out to you and me to give us his mind. What greater thing could we have in life than the mind of Christ? Oh, Lord, give us your mind and give us your thoughts and redirect my thoughts. Help me to study your scriptures, because I want to tell you something. If you will diligently and faithfully study the scriptures, scripture by scripture through your life, I don't think you have to be a certain type of person to do that. I know that certain type of people are given to study more than others, but I want to tell you something. God put these out here for a reason. And in these scriptures is the correction, the direction, the love. In it is the Spirit of God. All of those things are in that. And the Lord wants us to take those and be trained and be corrected by them. God wants that, doesn't he? I want to tell you another scripture. That was Psalms 107 and 20, he healed them. 2 Samuel 22 and 31, as for God, his way is perfect. You believe that? The word of the Lord is tried. You know what? It's been put in the furnace. That's what it's talking about. The word of the Lord has been put in the crucible. And it has been tried. And it's been put to the test. And folks, when I look all around us and I see people trying out whole new life patterns and thoughts that thousands of years have proved different, I cringe for that. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, a shield to all them that put their trust in him. Oh Lord, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Maybe we didn't have a father or a mother to take care of us. So are we doomed? Are we doomed because of that? Shall we not have knowledge because of that? I believe it's better than that. So maybe our parents had a real problem with finances. Maybe they could never get their finances in control. Are we doomed? Or does the word of the Lord have some things to share with us today? I think the Lord wants to give us some things. You know, this morning, I believe the Lord will teach us and that we can be taught of the Lord. I want to think about a few other things. And I've thought of this for years. Folks, we need the Lord in our marriages. We need the Lord to redirect our manner of thinking. Because many times, and I say many times, and it's not just way out there. Folks, many times we need our thoughts redirected. We need the Lord to teach us his ways and his thoughts about what a father is supposed to be, a husband, a mother, a wife. You know, we can hang on one or two scriptures and spend a life of bitterness because of it. I want to tell you, I met a man one time that had one eye. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. And this man misunderstood that scripture and ruined his life. Now, he wasn't among us. He came to a service or two, maybe. But I met him at someone's house, and I never met him again. But you know, this morning, the scripture does say, if your eye offends you, pluck it out, doesn't it? But there's something more to understand about that. Because I can tell you, that didn't fix the man's problem. Plucking his eye out like that. That was a misunderstanding of something God said. Now, in marriage, there are many scriptures that tell us many things about marriage. But I want to tell you, I have seen people ruin their marriages the same way. By taking a scripture and misunderstanding its use, and through the flesh, destroy their homes. Now folks, like I say, I've been thinking about this a long time. I despise the devil making havoc in our homes. When I see it, I can hardly stand it. Because folks, the Lord has answers for those things. And I want to encourage us today to understand the will of the Lord. He never planned for a woman to rule the roost. And he never planned for a man to be a lord. But he planned for them to be one. You know what one is? How many is one? How many? How many is one? How many? It's one, isn't it? It's just one. That's all I can say. That's all we can say. It's one. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to build that into our life. We have to understand His ways. We have to crucify the flesh for that to happen. Because I have seen so many times when it's so misunderstood. Folks, I want to tell you this morning by the Word of God, the Lord wants us to hear and He wants us to understand. And He wants us to be able to have that Word alive and rich in our life. Folks, God has good blessings for us. And there's so many things about our marriages that the Lord wants to teach us this morning. There was probably a time that I would not have understood all that language. And maybe you don't either. But I want to challenge you this morning to ask God about it. Because the Lord wants us to have holy and happy marriages. And it seldom to never lands on one shoulder. It's a work of two becoming one. And God wants to do that in our lives. Now, how are we taught about living for God? How does it align? Does it align with the scriptures? Well, in my mind it does. Yeah, let's call fire down from heaven. Well, that wasn't Jesus' idea at all, was it? I'll just take my sword out and I'll cut his head off. You know, I'll fight for you. I'll be there for you, Lord. And the Lord says, no, Peter, they're going to kill the Son of Man, and he's going to rise again the third day. Oh, be it far from us, Lord. That's not going to happen to you. Well, that was man's thoughts, wasn't it? Let's give our thoughts to the Lord, and let's ask Him to open our minds and hearts, because, folks, the happenings of our past come back to haunt us, and we just don't understand many times. And the Lord wants us to understand. He told those disciples some things, didn't He? Paul told them some things. Over there in Corinthians, he told them. He said, one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos. That made all the sense in the world to those people. You know, well, Paul baptized me, or, you know, whoever, or whatever. I'm Paul's. Paul's my man. Well, that was so wrong, wasn't it? It was contrary to what God was trying to do. And so Paul tried to tell them, you know, one plants and another waters, and we're all one. We're all working together. And God gives the increase. Do you know this morning that God wants to give increase in our homes, in our relationships with our children? I know, and I've seen it said, you know, well, I taught them the truth. I taught them. And I want to say, no, you didn't. No, you didn't teach them the truth. You taught them some scriptures, and then you showed them some really wrong ways. You know what? I'm sorry. I don't mean, I'm not. Folks, like I say, I believe the devil opposed me on this particular subject. And I'm not going to go away before I'm done. So pray for us. Folks, the Lord wants to transform our minds. That takes a real humbling of ourselves, because we understand things a certain way, and that's the way it is. Folks, listen. There's more to it than that. And God wants to tell us those things this morning. And I pray to God that the word of the Lord will heal every one of us in our needs. You know, we've already mentioned some of these things. Business, something I haven't really mentioned. Do you know that we can be raised in such a way, and you know, well, the Lord wants us to be shrewd. He wants us, you know what, I believe the Lord wants us to be good businessmen. I believe that. And you know what else I believe? I believe He wants us to keep in mind that if we were on the other side, that we would be happy just like we are on this side of the bargain. And if we really would be happy that way, then we're probably on track. But folks, I want to tell you, business and all those things, we are raised by imperfect people. People that, I'm saying imperfect in the sense that they're human. They have their own thoughts about things, and sometimes it's wrong. And the Lord wants to change us. And He wants our ways of doing business such that people will just have to say, you know, they do you right every time. I've worked with people like that. I've known some of the businessmen here that have that kind of reputation. Well-deserved reputations of the Lord being that kind of God in their life. Oh, I just want to, maybe that's mostly about it. Folks, when the Lord was in His temptation in the wilderness, that's Luke 4. You know, the devil took advantage of the situation there. Jesus was very hungry. He had been 40 days and 40 nights with nothing to eat. And Satan said, here, turn this stone to bread. Well, that sounds pretty, that's a pretty good idea. I'm really hungry. I'm going to die if I keep being without food. But no, there was something wrong with that, wasn't there? And Jesus said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus set things in proper understanding and order. And instead of, as Eve did, the devil talked to her and twisted the words and all of the devil and opposed what God had said. Instead of letting the devil do that, the Lord just brought Scripture into it. And He used it properly. And it settled the matter. The enemy ended up taking his leave and left. Didn't he? And you know, then he takes him up to a high mountain and he says, all these kingdoms here, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Well, that's a lie. You know what? God has something to say about it too, doesn't he? And to whosoever He allows it, that's the way it'll be. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. And He did that a third time, about casting himself down. He wanted him to commit suicide. And he was taking Scripture to bring that about. Because see, in Luke 4, Let's read that one. Luke 4 and 9, he says, "And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall..." Listen to the devil quoting Scripture. "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee." Well, that's true, isn't it? He sure will, won't he? But he tells us we don't do things like jumping off. "And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." You see how Jesus put the true meaning into the Scriptures? Folks, let's ask for counsel. Let's ask for God's help. Let's study to show ourselves approved unto God. Let's give ourselves without reserve to the Lord. And you know what I believe we'll find? We'll find the Lord winnowing for us His path. And it'll be right. And it'll be meaningful. And it'll build faith. And it'll build faith in your children. And it'll build faith in your spouse. The Lord builds, folks. He's not here to destroy any of us. After we die, we're going to meet the judgment, yes. But He's here to save us. That's what He's here for. He's looking at our plight. And He sees and He knows our needs. And He said, He came to save us, not to destroy men's lives. Take time to meditate on the Word and listen to the Lord. I really believe in that. More than just studying, looking up this Scripture, looking up that Scripture, stop for a bit and just seek the Lord. Lord God of heaven, will You speak to my soul? Will You teach me some of these things and reveal to my heart some meaningful things out of Your Word today? Spend some time. Stop long enough, Lord. Help us today. Lord, make our life to be a reflection of the glory of God. And I believe that if we will do that, the Lord will do that. He'll do it for us. Take time to meditate and to listen and to get His mind. Remember, let that other witness, the Word, the Spirit of the Lord, let it teach us His ways. It's been put to the test. It's been tried in the fire for centuries. All since the world began, the Word of the Lord has been tried, hasn't it? It is the one thing that will endure. Let's build our lives on it. Lord, teach me Your ways. Correct me. Teach me Your thoughts about things. And show me how to have Your Spirit about things. So that I don't pluck my eye out needlessly. But rather, I do it the way You really meant it to be. That I cut off those things that are very meaningful to me. As meaningful as my eye. That I cut those off if need be. Oh, the Lord wants us to have understanding as we study. So pray for me too.